I want to take you to Matthew chapter 12. So if you'll repeat after me, say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Thank you that I have eyes that see.
Thank you that I have eyes that see.
Ears that hear.
Ears that hear.
And my heart is perceiving.
And my heart is perceiving.
This message is for me.
This message is for me.
Amen.
Amen.
In chapter 12, you're going to, God willing, see a little bit of God's chosen servants. So I want you to start with verse 15. Aware of this, Jesus withdrew from that place. Many followed him, and he healed all their sick. He healed all. Warning them not to tell who he was. Kind of cool. He doesn't want publicity. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. Here is my servant whom I have chosen, the one I love in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will proclaim justice to the nations. I believe that's a misprint. I will put my spirit in him, and he will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not quarrel or cry out. No one will hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out, till he leads justice to victory. In his name, the nations will put their hope. It might be wise to have a little circle around nations, because we prayed for Iran today, for the U.S. Nations are a part of what he looks for, and we kind of get strung up on me, myself, and I. 22. Then they brought him a demon-possessed man who was blind and mute, and Jesus healed him so that he could both talk and see. Wow. All the people were astonished and said, could this be the son of David? Could. Question. I can tell you that I had an opportunity when I was in Florida one year to witness a young woman who was totally deaf and mute, and she spoke and heard for the first time. I was at an Avon Conference Center, and there was a man of God that I had listened to and heard many times. But when he asked us if we could believe that Jesus could do this, even though she was born this way, she had never spoken a sound, never able to vocalize anything. And I was with my brother and his wife, and it was intense to watch. And it's not something you forget, okay? It's such impact. But I want you to say in your own heart, when I see this type of thing, will I be astonished or will it be normal? See, at that time when this took place, this is quite a few years ago, I was astonished. Now I'm looking for that to be normal.
Amen.
So I'm not the same man, maybe mentally and emotionally and spiritually, that I was then. But God loved me then and he loves me now. So keep that in mind. You are changing. 24 is kind of cool. But when the Pharisees heard this, they said, "It is only by Beelzebub, the prince of demons, that this fellow drives out demons." Well, isn't that cool? Jesus knew their thoughts. Jesus knew their thoughts. And said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and every city or household divided against itself will not stand. If Satan drives out Satan, he is divided against himself. And then, how then can his kingdom stand? And if I drive out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your people drive them out?" This also tells you that the Jewish community at that time and the Pharisees were doing a work in the demonic area. All right? Otherwise, Jesus would not have questioned them to the degree that they were questioning. "So they will be your judges. But if I drive out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you." So the kingdom of God is a kingdom where the devil gets treated the way he should be. Uh-huh. Yes or no?
Yes.
If he's in the way, he gets cast out.
Right.
If he's interfering, he gets pushed out. 29. "Or again, how can anyone enter a strong man's house and carry out his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man? Then he can rob his house." The strong man meaning somebody's at the head of this garbage pit that's going on. And that strong man controls. So you need to be aware that there are times that you're going to be going after things that don't make too much sense. But by the Holy Ghost, you will know, because the Holy Spirit knows who's the head one. Verse 30. "He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters." So a choice of who you are serving. "And so I tell you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven." Oh. I can tell you, I witnessed the rejection of the Holy Spirit in very high places. And I'll tell you truthfully, I was aware of it to a degree. Now I understand it deeper. It doesn't make it any less painful to watch. Verse 32. "Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven either in this age or in the age to come." That's heavy. In other words, don't treat the Holy Ghost lightly. Because it is the Spirit of Christ Jesus that you're talking about or complaining about. And you may have lack of knowledge when you make decisions. And people can make decisions and speak about the Holy Spirit in negative ways. They will be held accountable. Okay? That also means that you need to pray for those who are in those places complaining about the Lord. I can tell you that in the political realm right now, the Holy Spirit is operating through a man, and many of his entourage love Jesus and are supporting him. I'm also watching some people that at some point have known the Lord, but they don't like the works of the Holy Spirit. They just don't like it. And you can tell just by the way they're communicating and by the way that they are judging. 33. "Make a tree good and its fruit will be good, and make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. There's so much in this particular verse to recognize who you should hang out with. Trees in the scripture are many times are people. And if their fruit are no good, what are you doing there? What are you in common with and approving of? And I'll leave it there. 34. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Depending on who you are and your position in Christ, it's important that you ask the Lord for help on that subject. Because it's not an easy thing to consider that you will answer for the words that you have spoken. 38. Then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to him, "Teacher, we want to see a miraculous sign from you." And he answered, "A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." How much clearer could you describe what was going to happen to him? And yet they didn't catch on. You know why? They probably didn't even believe what happened to Jonah. Because I'll tell you, I've had conversation with people, even in the religious realm, and they look at this book as fiction. They actually will declare that it's written by men. I do agree that men are used to write it down, but it came from the Lord. Amen. All right. 41. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and now one greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south will rise at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom, and now one is greater than Solomon is here. Verse 43 should have a little circle around it. Because I want you to kind of ponder on this, because this was the verse that he wanted me to press in. When an evil spirit comes out of a man, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, "I will return to the house I left." When it arrives, it finds the house unoccupied. Look at the word, swept clean. Now, have you ever heard a word like that before? Coming out of any saint that you know? I can remember, and I could quote to you what the Holy Spirit spoke through our sister Mary Jo. "I see a broom inside sweeping people clean." My version. Sweeping. What does the Holy Spirit do? He sweeps us clean. I repeat. When it arrives, it finds the house unoccupied, swept clean, and put in order. Then it goes and takes with it seven other spirits more wicked than itself. and they go in and live there. And the final condition of the man is worse than the first. That is how it will be with this wicked generation. Say ouch.
Ouch.
In other words, you can come to church, you can get cleaned up, go back out there, and be prepared for temptation. Because it will happen. But if you're not built up inside of yourself by the Holy Ghost, you could end up worse than you were before. Because seven others will be on the job moving in at their first opportunity. You know, this is not a pleasant subject, but I've watched people and I say, how come they cannot awaken to the truth? And the Lord said, because there's a blinding spirit. And when you and I are blind, you can't see, right? If you're deaf and dumb, you can't hear. And when I watched that little girl, who was approximately 18 or 19 years old, let out sounds for the first time in her life, and hearing herself, there's no way you can describe the picture that was in front of me. Because I was in the third or fourth row in this huge auditorium, and this was going on right at eye level right in front of us. You couldn't miss it. The man of God is no longer with us. He went home to be with the Lord. He used to work with, I believe it was A.A. Allen. And for many years, I had listened to him on radio. It was my first time to actually see him up in front of me. The point that I'm trying to give you is this. An anointed person can bring freedom, but that person cannot protect you when you're being tempted by seven other demons. You have to be prepared. You have to be able to say, no way. And how's it going to come? By thoughts in your mind. And if you don't bind up those thoughts, 2 Corinthians 10:5, what's going to happen? You're going to give in to the thoughts. And then you're going to wonder, well, Jesus isn't really on the job because I feel like worse than I did before. That's why that scripture is written. So that you can look at yourself and say, hey, where's the mistake here? And I can remember having someone in my office back at Grace Church yelling at me, I feel worse than I ever felt. Since I've been coming here, I feel worse than I ever felt in my life. And I said to them, well, maybe if you were honest with yourself and took time in the Word and begin to educate yourself, to defend yourself, it might be helpful. Because I had to begin by educating myself. And I had to help others, and while I was helping others, God was working on my case. The secret. Pray for one another that you may be healed. While you're praying for those others out there, the Lord is working on your case. If you're so focused on yourself and you say, oh my God, how can I become stronger in the spirit. Take a good look at the letter of Jude. He says, build yourself up in the most holy spirit by praying in the Holy Ghost. While you're praying in the Holy Spirit and interceding as the Holy Spirit leads you, you will put a threat on the darkness that wants to captivate you and use you again. While you're strong on the inside, believe me, that negative force, even though it comes around you and wants back in, you're going to say, uh-uh, sorry, you're not coming in because I'm not letting your thinking and your way of thinking back into my heart. And you can stand and say, I bind that lie in Jesus' name, because these are lying spirits. They're looking to destroy you. They're interested in one thing. Deceiving and killing. They rob, they steal, and they kill. And they're playing for keeps. They are not playing just for the sake of playing. So I'm going to ask you to close your eyes right now. And put your right hand over your heart. Say, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
I need your help.
I need your help.
Because without you.
Because without you.
This is just another word out of the Bible. But I want it to become my truth. So that when the darkness tries to open a door again
to deception and lies,
I will be aware by faith
that I can say no
and mean it.
And
to command the thoughts to lose
their authority
and to let me go
in Jesus' name.
Because God has given me this authority
through Jesus Christ.
And by His Holy Ghost,
I can stand my ground
and be victorious
over all the darkness
that really wants me dead.
And I
choose life.
Fill my heart with love.
And compassion.
And grace.
Not just for the broken.
But
for me.
In Jesus' name I pray.
I will be an overcomer. Through the words of my mouth. And the blood.
Of Jesus Christ.
Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, that's it. Share some love with each other.